Pirkus wine some places. He'll say it to both of them, wine some places. He'll say it to Moshe to tell Aaron. But here we're talking about the Parsha of Korbanos, where Aaron L'chayra is the person to say it to directly. He's the one that's being mocked of the Korbanos. So why Dafka over here does it say HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to Moshe and B'dafka not to Aaron? Like one would think that if Aaron's the one that's in charge of the Korbanos, it should be told to him directly. So there's three different terutzim that I found to this question, that why Dafka over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe and Aaron's excluded. Terutz number one. So Torah and Avodah are two separate categories. There's Torah, and there's the Liman HaTorah, the mitzvahs, and there's the Avodah which was done with the Beis HaMikdash, and to us it's Avodah's HaTfilah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that the fact that Aaron is the one that does the Avodah, but the Torah chelik of that, that still belongs to Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Zichud is Avodah L'maisa in the Beis HaMikdash. But the one that preaches that, and the one that was Mekabel the Torah for that, and the one that learns the halachas, that was B'davka Moshe Rabbeinu, because that's the Gvul, that's already the boundary of Torah. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that line of demarcation over here. Einoch Nami Aaron is the one that does the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. But here we're talking about the Torah of the Korbanos, and there's Lach, there's Vachem, there's Menachas, and all of the Tavis HaKorbanos, with all the shilas that come up in Halacha, that still belongs to the boundary of Moshe, because he's the one that was Mekabel the Torah. So that's why the Torah tells us specifically over here, it was first told to Moshe, and like all of the other dinim in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over. Here he gave it over to Aaron. It's Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Yeshayin, I saw in the Sefer, the Sitcha Elyon, very nice Sefer. He says, you know, the Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in the entire Haggadah Shel Pesach. Why not? So the belt says over, he says, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that made the Nisim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that did the talking to Paroi. So one might make the mistake and think that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the Poyel over here. But the emphasis is that Moshe Rabbeinu was only a Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The real Goyal Yisrael was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on the night of Pesach, when we tell over Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim, you don't want anyone to make the false mistake that it was Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, B'davka on this night, when we sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we thank Him when we're Makir Toiv, we B'davka don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name. As a matter of fact, the Meshech Chachma says that this was a mistake that the Yidden made in the Midbar by the Chet HaEgel. They forgot that Moshe Rabbeinu was only a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, they lost themselves. Right? So, at least on the night of Pesach, we have to stress the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was just a shliach, the Ikar is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. So, Mela, the same Sefer says, when it comes to the Korbanos, one might make the mistake of thinking that Aaron brings the Korbanos, Aaron's the one that's in charge of everything in the Beis HaMikdash. So, one might make the mistake of thinking that Aaron is also the Mechaper. And it's his actions that are doing everything. For that, when it came to the instructions about the Korbanos, Ibidavka leaves out Aaron's name. To show us, not that Aaron was the one that made the Kapara, HaKadosh Baruch was the one that made the Kapara, and Aaron was only a Shluch of the Rachman. It's like a Shaila. In the Gemara, the Kahanim are Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or are they Shluchim of Klal Yisrael? But Lamaisa, they're only Shluchim. And the one that's Mechaper, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Lechad Chila left out Aaron's name. In Teretz number three, why B'davka stresses it was given to Moshe to give it to Aaron? Because there's no Shaila in the world that Moshe Rabbeinu was Chol Shadaita, that he's not able to do the Avodah. It says like that in the Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu felt bad that he wasn't able to do the Avodah. So, the Torah is telling us there are Cheretz over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mephais Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, I'm giving you the mitzvahs and you will give it over to Aaron. And now you will have a chelik in every Avodah because yes, the Avodah came to them through you and you were the one that taught it to them. So every single Avodah you will have a chelik in. So Al-Tamid is there a Cheretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mephais Moshe Rabbeinu. He told it to him in order to tell it over to Aaron. Yaitzim and Varenu, there's three truths over here. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu left out Aaron's name? either because this is the Chelek HaTayra Shabbai, the Amud HaVayda belonged to Aaron Taka, but the Amud HaTayra, and Kachim will says, it's rooted in Taira. That's the Gevul of Moshe Rabbeinu. Number two, we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that the Mechaper is Aaron, so Bedavka left Aaron's name out. And number three, was Al Derech Eretz to Moshe to be Mephias him, that he wasn't getting the actual Avayda, so his name was stressed over here, he's the one that's giving it over, and the Mele he has a Chelik in every single Avayda. Vayikra El Moshe. So it's famous, the Aleph Zeira over here, the little Aleph. So what does that Meramis do? So there's numerous short that we've said in the past. There's a Medrash Tanchuma over here, a famous Medrash Tanchuma. Ravasi said, why do the Tanaika Shel Beis Rabba, the Kindlech and Cheder, why do they first start learning Sefer Vayikra? Why is that the first thing they learn? Because all the Kurbanas are written there. And because they are Tehoirim, until now, and they don't know what the Tam Chet is, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that they should first start with Kurbanas, Yovoyu Tehoirim, V'yisasku B'maisa Tehoirim. Let the pure ones come, I'll let them be Isaac in the actions of purity, and that is the Kurbanas that were B'tachlis HaTahara, U'B'tachlis HaKedusha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, therefore I consider it as if they are being makruv the Kurbanas by learning it. And he let Klal Yisrael know that even though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and there is no Kurbanas Bizman HaZeh, without the children that learn about the Kurbanas, the Olam would not have a Kiyum. The Tanaika Shel Beis Rabba that learned the Kurbanas, that is like bringing the Kurbanas in the Beis HaMikdash, and that is what keeps the world going. So I saw her Orev from the Mashkiach of Gates and Rav Chizki Eliezer Kahan, Zegatzadik Lebraka. He asked the question, why does it have to be that the children start learning Kachin? Why? Because they're pure with Chet. So good, so let them learn it sometime before their Bar Mitzvah. Let them start with Seder Bereshis, plenty of time until their Bar Mitzvah, and before their Bar Mitzvah, will Zichar be able to cover Sefer Vayikra? Why does it have to be that the Tchilas Limud of the Tanaika Shel Beis Rabba is with Sefer Vayikra? Why isn't it good enough? Learn it when they're Ketanim. They didn't do any Chatoim yet, because as Ketanim, they're not B'nai Chet. So let them learn Vayikra, calls them their Ketanim. But why is the stress over here that the first Limud of Ketanim has to be with Vayikra? So Shlam, from over here, and what do you think? That even a Ketan is not a Bar Chiyuva. But the more he gets, the older he gets in this world, this is a world of Yetzahara. And this is a world of Tumah. And the more he gets exposed to the world, even if he's not a Bar Chiyuva, but as the years go on, he is less innocent, and the Tumah of the world catches on with him. And the Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, hey, Yosh, we're dealing with Kurbanas, and Kurbanas have to be learned Al Taharas HaKadosh. The best time to learn with them is when they were least affected by the world. When the first learning, that is the earliest stage in life when they're starting to learn. But later on in life, they might still be Ketanim. Over Lamaisha, they were in Olam Hazeh. The more a person is in Olam Hazeh, the more Olam Hazeh affects him. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chaparayim, Kodshim, at the earliest part in their lives where it's possible, they were least affected by the world, they were least tainted by the Yetzer that's present in the air, and they're on their highest Madrega of Tahara, in order to be able to start learning the Kurbanas. Now, this is a Mavidik lesson. You can even have Ketanim that are innocent. And Afal Pikein, the more they live in Olam Hazeh is Mali Yitzhara, and Olam Hazeh is Mali Tumah. I think I've mentioned this already numerous times, that Remeir Shapiro was once by the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim was bemoaning the fact that the preachers is mamish, getting to a terrible madrega, sneers being forgotten. So Meir Shapiro asked the Chofetz Chaim, how does the Rebbe know that there's a lack of sneers? The Rebbe, he's in the Beis Medrash a whole day, or he's in his house all day, in this little vinkel over here. He doesn't go out to the streets to see. So the Chofetz Chaim says, Oy, what's haste? He says, you could feel the tumah in the air. And if you could feel the tumah in the air, must be that there's a lack of sneers, it must be that there's preachers. Chafetz Chaim was very sensitive to tumas. He was able to feel it. He says, what are we supposed to say, Bisman Hazeh, that the bounds of preachers and tumah in the world became totally broken? What are we supposed to say today? So even a katan, the more he's in this world, there's tumah in the air that could affect him. And Hashem, if he's there, you know, that's a lesson not only for katan, it's a lesson for us, that we have to be aware there's tumah in the air. And even in our insular community of Muncie and in Lakewood and in Williamsburg, over this tumah in the air as a whole, and we have to be aware of that, and we have to know that we have to guard against it. Odom kiyakriv mikem karban l'Hashem. The person will be makriv from you a karban l'Hashem. The word mikem is extra. It could have said odom kiyakriv karban l'Hashem. Wasn't this odom kiyakriv mikem karban l'Hashem? It's about first what the Svarim say, that of course the simple pshat in the pasuk over here is speaking about karbanos, but what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants from us is Odom ki yakriv mikem, we should be makriv ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as the Ramban says, that really ideally, what's the karban all about? That when a person brings a karban, he has to realize that he himself was fit to be brought as a karban. And as to be mechaper on his aveira, he should have been makriv himself on the mizbeach. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chasadav gave us the opportunity of being machlup ourselves for a behema on the Mizbeah. But the makshava of a person has to be that really he should be machlup himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Svarim bring down that in addition to the inyan upon our kavana by karbanos has to be, a person has to learn to be machlup himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants mesiras nefesh. The Gemara says, famous Gemara, Omalei Rav Papa Abaya, Rav Papa said to Abaya, why is it that the Dairus HaRishonim were Zoycha to Nisim, and we are not Zoycha to Nisim? So Abaya told him that the earlier, and he told him, the earlier generations, we're greater than them in learning. The earlier generations, Rav Yehuda, he was Isaac mainly in Seder Nezikin, and we're Isaac in all Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. And yet, Rav Yehuda, the minute he would get up to daven for rain, it would come pouring down. And by us, we beg and garnish, nothing happens. So he answered him back, the earlier days, they were Moisei Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are not as Moisei Nefesh as they are. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is, Odom Kiyakriv Mikem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, you should be Makriv yourself, you should be Moisei Nefesh. I saw a movie the Kemaisa a couple of weeks ago. The Pandav Yisrov, the Ketzach of the Kodesh Lebracha, he made a dinner in Johannesburg, South Africa. The type is the Yeshiva's Panavish. So the day after the dinner, he and his Shamashim, they're looking through the envelopes with the donations, and they open up an envelope, and there was an astronomical donation over there. Mamish, like, they were mishtayim. They tried to identify who's the one that donated it. The signature on the check was scribbled, and there was no name or address. In those days, they didn't print the names and the addresses on the check. He had to find this donor. He had to thank him. So they went to the bank, and they did checking with the account number, and after a couple of days, he got the name of the donor and his address where he lived. It was 8 hours away from Johannesburg by train. Pandav Yisrov is not one to be put off by long trips. He used to travel around the world. He had to be makritayv. This was just a crazy donation. So he gets on the train, makes the long trip, gets off the train. He hires a taxi to take him to this and this address. The guy takes him out to the outskirts somewhere. So if I go from the place, it was away from civilization. So Pandav Yisrov said, where are you taking me? This is a big veer. He's not going to live somewhere in the Hicks. So I'm taking him to the right address. He takes him to some forlorn place where there were shacks, literally it looked like a slum area. You know, he says, right here, this is the house. He says, this can't be, it's impossible. There's a rich guy here. I'm telling you, this is the address. So he tells the taxi driver, wait for me, I don't want to be here alone. Knocks on the door. the short yid, the yarmulke with a spitz beard, you know, a pointy beard, says, Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, I knew you would come here. He invites him in. He's just like, what? When? Who? If this guy's rich, why is he living here? And if he's not rich, how can he afford such an astronomical sum? So I'll explain everything. He says, I was one of nine sons. We were Yisraelim. We were brought up by our mother. We lived in a little town on the outskirts of Panevish. Our mother brought us up. We had no money. We were poor. But one thing she wanted, that her kids should learn Torah. So she hired a melamed for us. We had nothing to pay. We did have a calf in our house, and we literally, we skimped on our food to feed the calf, hoping it would get bigger and it would give off milk. We'll sell it and we'll be able to pay for the melamed. But the calf didn't cooperate, and it wasn't giving off milk. Meanwhile, the melamed comes to ask for his pay, and my mother couldn't pay him. She says, listen, wait a little bit longer, and you'll have the milk and whatever. He waited another month, and he had to put food on his table also. Finally, he said, I can't anymore. You know, I partially have to feed my own kids, and I got a job someplace else, a job offer. He said, the mother starts crying. She doesn't know what to do. She said, you know what? Take the calf. Take the whole thing, keep it, and that'll be the sky limit for X amount of time. What's going to happen after that, Hashem will worry about. She gave everything away. They didn't have food in the house. They had nothing. The last belonging was a calf. She gave it away. She says, I grew up, I wanted to follow in my mother's footsteps. She gave everything away for Tyra. And we were happy in the house that we were able to learn. When I heard that the Panevish Rebbe was building the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, I sold everything, took the money, put it in a bank account, and I gave all my money away to the yeshiva, following the footsteps of my mother. But I have to tell the Rav, this is going to be the last donation he ever sees from me. He has nothing left. But that's Pshat Mesiras Nefesh. I'm a halfway of a fella that a mother had that feeling for Torah and that feeling of Mesiras Nefesh, and it was inculcated in her children. That's the Odom Kiyakru Mikem Karbon Hashem. There's a Mori that can base Halevi in this week's parasha. The Heshivet Hagzela Asher Gozal, Oyes Ha Oyshek Asher Oshak. He should return the Gzela that he stole, or the proceeds of the fraud that he had perpetrated. Zokta Beis Halevi. When a person doesn't have Eira, what's the daima to? It's like taking a kosher keli and cooking something treif in it, so you make the keli treif. That's when the keli was kosher, look at that. But by cooking treif for stuff, you made a treif. So now what do you do? So in order to kasher it, you first have to go through a process of cleaning off the inside and the outside from any fats or any residue of the thing which was treif. Because you can't kasher something before you clean it properly. The first thing is you have to kasher the pot. After kashering, you have to clean off the pot. After that, you have to either make hagolah, the way the tarfus went in. If you cooked with it, you have to make hagolah and boil it out. If you broiled with it, there was a fire there, you roast it, then you need fire to take it out. But the first step is to clean the outside chalik of it. It should be spotlessly clean. And then you could cook with it on the fire and boil it or whatever it is. And that takes care of the tarfus that was embedded in the chalik. So when a person doesn't have bayr, it's the exact same thing. First thing he has to do is he has to get rid of the residue of the Aveira. If he stole, the Heshiv Zagzei Lashir goes up. If he had a faulty business dealing, then he has profits in his Rishus, which was Shalai Kedin. That's cleaning off the outside of the Keli. He has to get rid of it. If he had faulty scales or measuring Kelim, he's got to get rid of that right away. That's cleansing off the outside. But that's when the tshuva process first begins. Then he has to do tshuva, he has to have charata, he has to have vidui. They were misakin certain takonas of fasting and such, right? That's taking out, that's burning out the inside that became embedded in his neshama. Result, the Beis HaLevi, that is another way of burning out the inside. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Haloi koi devareka esh yom Hashem. My words of Torah are like fire. The same way fire burns out the inside of a keli and it gets rid of the tumah, If a person's koveya itim la taira, that could be the fire that burns out the inner tumma within him, and mamela with that he can be mitar himself. That's a marzik and marzik. And the Chavetz Chaim said the exact same word. After you get rid of the external chelik of the yisr to burn out the inside, there are sigufim. There's certain things that the svarim bring down. But the best thing to do is, more than anything, more than fasting, more than anything, limud ha-Torah, haloi koi dvar ha-keish, yom Hashem. My words are like fire that penetrate the inner depths and they burn out the tumah. And here also there's a Marilik and Maisa that the Chavetz Chaim used to say over. There was a very wealthy man that lived somewhere in a city in Litton. And his next door neighbor was very poor. And this poor man started hounding the rich man. He started driving him crazy. Every day he would come to his house and scream at him and yell at him and taunt him or whatever. And the rich man was going crazy until finally he took him to a dentaira in front of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. So they're standing in front of Reb Chaim Volozhiner and the poor man starts screaming at the rich guy, not just like a sugar. So Reb Chaim sees that this was not just a simple case of a person taunting someone else. He saw that this fellow, this poor guy, was possessed by a dibbuk. And it was the dibbuk that was taunting this rich man. So he starts talking to the dibbuk. Who are you? What are you doing here? And why are you bugging this rich man? So he says, I was a melamed in my previous gilgul. And I taught the children of this man's father. Which means this man, this rich man here, was one of my talmidim. And this rich man once, the father, once made a business deal with a guy and he cheated him out of 10,000 rubles. And I was one that signed on this document and I got a portion of the profits. It says, Mela, when I went up to Shemayim, they were done me, everything was fine. But because I had this aveira on my hands, they did not allow me to go into Gan Eden. So I asked, let me come back down here as a gilgul, let me be misakin. So I'm a dafke, persecuting this guy, he should come to the realization he has to give back any of the money that his father came to through that gezel dikid deal. When the rich man heard this, he says, what? You're claiming that this was the reason why I didn't go into Gan Eden? You were known as a Russia or as a Paris. You did things mamish like a Hagen. This was the whole reason why I didn't go into Gan Eden. So he said, you knew me when I was younger. But later on in life, I did tshuva. I was kavei itim latayra 4 hours a day. And then when I covered my tshuva in Shemayim, except with this, I was still left with this. So that's why I have to come back and be Messiah. So sure enough, Reb Chaim Volozhiner ruled that he should give back the money, whatever. And the end was that the dibbuk left this poor man. So Chavetz Chaim said, "You see, from this maisa, two things. Number one, after the fellow had already done tshuva, over as long as he was not mesak and then gzeila biyodai, they wouldn't accept the tshuva. He couldn't go into Gan Eden. A second yisayin you see from over here is." That the best way to tshuva is limud ha-Torah. He said he did tshuva, he learned 4 hours a day, and the tshuva was niskabel. That's mamash the word that the Beis Halevi says over here. Halekoi dvari ka'esh no Hashem. The problem was he didn't get rid of the external residue yet. He still had to be mesak and gzeil. Of a seifkol seifu, the other matters, the tshuva was niskabel. How? Be equal with limud ha-Torah. That's the lesson that the Beis Halevi says. I just want to finish off with one word, b'negei to the Haggadah. So, Amar v'dikipshat, ilu kervanu l'fnei har Sinai, v'l'inosam lanu es ha-Torah dayenu. If Hashem would have brought us to har Sinai, and he wouldn't have given us the Torah, it would be enough to thank him for it. So everybody asks the question, what would be the purpose of bringing us to har Sinai if we're not going to get the Torah? In Marshall Lamar Dover Diamond, there's a guy that owns a restaurant. And he invites people, come to my restaurant. Mamish is gevalding there, whatever. And when they come to the restaurant, they sit down. He doesn't bring them any food. What's the purpose of coming to the restaurant if we can't eat? So what's the ilu kervonu l'fnei har Sinai v'leinosim one of us at Torah? What would be the purpose? So Rabbi Ruchan, that we're not talking about over here bringing us to stand by the mountain. That's not the Ikra Nekuda over here. The Ikra Nekuda is HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to the Madrega that we were ready for Mountain Torah. And let's envision this. The Yidden were B'shas Kriyas Yamsu, because I'll say, Rosa Shivcha Alayam, Mashalei Roi Yecheskel Ben Buzi. A Shivcha Alayam reached the Madrega, she was able to say, Zeh Keli Mandeu, they literally saw the Shekhinah. And all of Klal Yisrael reached such a Madrega. A Madrega that Yecheskel Ben Buzi, from the greatest of the Vim, was not able to see. And yet they weren't yet ready for Kabbalah Satayr. They first had to go through the Midbar. They got Mon that purified them. They had the Be'erishal Miriam that purified them. They had to go through a Nisayin of Mulchemes HaMolek. There was refining and refining and culturing and culturing and culturing. Till finally, they were right to stand by Har Sinai in order to accept the Torah. So even if Hashem wouldn't have given us the Torah, but the very fact that he paid so much attention to us and he guided us every step along the way to refine us once and refine us a second time and a third and a fourth. For that proof, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't just the standing at the mountain. It was being refined through the actions of Hashem to reach a high madrega far and beyond what we could have envisioned. And the truth of the matter is, this did not start with Yetzias Mitzrayim. This started with the selection process of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov and the Shvatim and being Mashgiach on them, being Mashgiach Hashgacha Protius. That all goes into the Ilu Kervanu Lufnei Har Sinai. When us learn us a Torah, even if he wouldn't have given us the Torah, but the fact that he elevated us to such an unbelievable Madrega, for that alone we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a good Shabbos, everybody, and the Chag Kosher is a man.